other thing. We're talking about one who is a Talmid Chacham, not Talmid Chacham with respect to me. Who is a Talmid Chacham? I have nothing to do with this person. Who is a Talmid Chacham who has special dinim? So one din, one of the special dinim is Machziren Lo Aveda, the Tfiyah Sayin. That's what we mentioned yesterday, that the Peshua points out that Mikir Adin, the Halacha really should have been that Bori B'Shem or Bori Yodif, the one who, the Moitzei Ha'aveda, admits that it's not his. He doesn't know who it belongs to, but he knows for sure it doesn't belong to him. And this fellow comes, someone comes to me about Chutz, and he says, hey, it's mine. So the din is, the Gemara, there's a machlokes, and we pass Bori B'Shem or Bori Yodif Lahoitzi from a Muchzor, because the fellow claims that it's mine. I claim that I'm holding on to money in my pocket. You say that I owe you $100, and I say I don't remember 100%. I'm not sure. I remember we were talking about it, whether I'm going to borrow $100. We were talking a lot about it, but I don't remember the end of the story, whether I actually borrowed $100 or I didn't borrow $100. So that's the case of Bari B'Shema, Machloikis and the Gemara in Ksubis, and Daf Yibet, and we passed in the Bava Kama, the end of Bava Kama, we passed in Bari B'Shema, La Bari Arif Lahoitzi. If I'm holding on to the $100 in my pocket, then I say it may be that I'm entitled to continue holding on to that money. So then I'm called the muchzik on the money. So bari is no good. A tainas bari is not sufficient to be moitzi from the muchzik. Even though the muchzik only has a tainas shem, but by the moitzi, the Gemara says bari b'shem la bari as lahoitzi, because they are moitzi machaber all of our raya. You need a better raya than that. You need a raya limtos. And the mon is baldim. The tainas bari, that's not enough to be moitzi mamon. But the Pnei Yeshua says, what if the fellow is a Moitzei HaAveda? So he knows B'Vador that it's not his Aveda. It's 100% not his. So he's not called a Muchzok. So he's a Shema. He doesn't know who it belongs to. He doesn't know who's the owner of the Aveda. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry comes along and says, hey, that's my Aveda. Give it back to me. I recognize it. So the din should have been a Bori B'Shem or Bori Yodis, because it's not Lahoitzi. Because the Moitzei HaAveda is holding out to the Aveda. It's not called a Muchzok, so it's not called Lahoitzi. So the Pnei Yeshua asked this Kasha. So why does the Bala Aveda ever have to give Simonim? Why shouldn't we always give back the Aveda B'Tfiyah Sayin? Why do you say only to a Talmid Chacham you give back the Aveda B'Tfiyah Sayin? The din should have been that anybody gets back the Aveda B'Tfiyah Sayin, because the Moitzei HaAveda has only a Taina Shema. He doesn't know whether it's true or not, and he's not a Muchzak at all. So the Nesivis answers, and Achinami, the Teretz is that it's a special Gzeres HaKosuv, Adrosh HaKichos, Adarshehu Shaloi Hei Ramai. That Gzeres HaKosuv only applies to the Moitzei HaAveda after I picked it up already. So in other words, if I didn't pick it up, I'm about to pick up an Aveda, and someone comes over and he's not a Talmid Chacham, a very plain person, not a Talmid Chacham, and he says, hey, that's mine, leave it there. So I say, okay, I'll leave it there, I'll take his word for it, because it's a Bari V'Shem, he says it's his, and I don't know if it's his or not. So it's Bar B'Shema, it's not Lahotzi from a Muchzok. But if I picked up the Aveda, then it's Exeris HaKosav, Adrosh HaKicha Osa Darshev Shaloye HaRamed. The Moitzei HaAveda becomes a Shemer on the Aveda, Bal Korcha, even though he doesn't want to become a Shemer. The Torah declares that he has to become a Shemer on the Aveda, and he's not allowed to surrender the Aveda based on the din of Bar B'Shema, Bar Yodif, because no one is Muchzik over here. We don't allow you to use that thing. We require Darshehu Shaloi Yehei Rami. So how do you fulfill that requirement of Darshehu? How do you check to see that he shouldn't be a Rami? So either the Balo Aveda who claims that it is has to produce Simonim. And if he doesn't produce Simonim, then I don't give it back to him, even though the din should have been otherwise. The din should have been Bar B'Shem. Or if the Balo Aveda is a Talmud Chacham who's Loi Mishani B'Dibur and never tells a lie, except for the three things. What was it again? Nesichta, Puryo, Ashpizo, the three things that the Gemara says you're allowed to tell of a Makam Shalom Bayis, Mutal Lashamis Nesnei Dakar Shalom. Only if the fellow is known that he's number one in Talmid Chacham, number two he's Medakdik and he's Begodim, that he doesn't walk out in the street sloppily dressed, a neat dresser, and number three he's Loi Mishani B'Dibur, he always tells the truth, so that is a fulfillment of Dorshei Shaloi Hei Ramai. I know he's not telling a lie, he's a Talmid Chacham. So if he's a Talmid Chacham, then you give him back the Aveda, the Tfiyah sign. So who is called such a Talmid Chacham? So it says he has to be learned, and he has to be Lo Mishani B'Diburai, and he has to be Makbid Al Chalukai. He should be a good dress. Yet then there's another din of a Talmid Chacham. The Gemara says Talmid Chacham Bnei Iro Mitzuvin Lachus Lo Malachto. Yeah, where does that come from? The Bnei Iro Mechuyev to do the Malach of him. So Rashi tells you, Abikias, that this is the source of this din is in Yuma Dafayim base, towards the end of Masechas Yuma. that the Gemara quotes a contradiction between the two pesukim. Kos v'echad ami v'yasiso l'cho aronet. Kos v'echad ami v'yasu aronet. Who's v'yasiso l'cho aronet? That's speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Forgot about it. I think that's speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu he should make an aron to put the luchas in. And the other pasuk says v'yasu aronet eshitim. Everybody should do it. So why does it say v'yasu if it's v'yasiso? If it's Moshe Rabbeinu's tzivoy? The answer is, since Moshe Rabbeinu was a Talmid Chacham, so Bnei Yira Mitzuvim Lasis Malachto. So if not possibly learn that, that is Lav Davki Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a general klal. If you have a Talmid Chacham in the city, Bnei Yira Mechuyif to do his Malacha. Which kind of Malachas are they Mechuyif to do for him? So the Gemara says, V'hanim Yilu L'mitroch B'riftei. Mazel L'mitroch B'riftei. So Rashi explains it means two conditions. They have to do all the Malachas for him. They have to wash the dishes for him also. Let's say he made a deal with his wife. She does the cooking, he washes the dishes, and he diapers the baby. So the Bnei Huir have to diaper the baby for the Tzur from Rabban. So Rashi interprets in the Gemara, no, it's only Dovah Sheni Yochel Etrachbo, something that he can do himself. And number two, V'chayov Tuluyim Bo. He really needs it very much. He really needs it. Why can't he do it? L'mitrach B'rifti. Why can't he do it himself? Dovah Sheni Yochel Etrachbo. Why can't he do it himself? So there's some things Talmid Chacham is not allowed to do melacha b'farhesia. Talmid Chacham is not allowed to do, let's say he's going to fix his car. His car is broken, so he's going to put on dungarees. He's going to lay down under the car and get himself all greasy and take the whole thing apart and put it back together again. So he's not permitted to do melacha b'farhesia if he can fix the car in his backyard, he would. But if he has to fix the car in public, so he's not allowed to do that. So if he needs a car in order to get to the yeshiva, in order to get to do his work, so then, and he can't fix the car b'tzina, it has to be fixed b'farhesia, so that's the same chino l'mitrach b'riftei. So then we say that the Bnei Huir HaMukhayif to do it for him. Any malacha that's done privately, and he knows how to do it, let him learn how to wash the dishes, or dry the dishes, or diaper the baby, what's the big deal? You don't have to have all the Bnei Huir do the malacha for him. But if it's a malacha that has to be done b'farhesia, the nature of the malacha has to be done b'farhesia, he's not allowed to do that. Or let's say it's a very difficult malacha. It's heavy. It's heavy to do, and he can't do it by himself. So the din is the Bnei Huir have to help him do the work. So the Gemara says, how do you define the Talmid Chacham? Eiz the Talmid Chacham, Shebnei Huir Mitzuvim Lasis Loi Malachta B'negeta. That din from Yume, the Bnei Huir Mitzuvim to do the malacha. So the Gemara says, what's the definition of a Talmid Chacham? They gave up a definition over here. They don't give definitions of how learned he has to be. So it's a different definition. Let's say he's in investments half the day, and then he learns a lot. He works on Wall Street a few hours a day, and he makes a lot of money, or whatever, something like that. And then he learns up the storm also. So that's not called the Talmid Chacham Menegeh to this din. Maybe it's the Talmid Chacham Menegeh to other din. But Menegeh to this din, the Bnei Huir, HaMitzuvah Lasis Lo Malachta, the Gemara says that's only so he's Meniach Hefzo. He's not really making a living. It could be that they're paying him a fortune they pay him $1 million for saying a shir in the yeshiva, but he doesn't do anything else other than that. He doesn't invest things on the side. He doesn't do work on the side. Meniach Hefzo. He leaves all of his own things, making a living. It's a new definition. Then there's another din of a Talmud Chacham. The din of Talmud Chacham standing up that we spoke about. Din of Talmud Chacham for Machzor La'Aveda B'Tzviyas Sayin, that's the second din. This is a din of Talmud Chacham for Bnei Huir Mitzuvah Nasas Amalokta. Then there's a fourth din, a Talmud Chacham, who deserves to be appointed a Ram in a Yeshiva, a Rebbe in a Yeshiva. Who deserves to be appointed first grade Rebbe? He has to know all the mashot. He doesn't have to know who the mashot was. As long as he knows Aleph Beis. As long as he knows how to read Aleph Beis and he knows how to teach Kriya and Siddur and basics and Chumash. Doesn't have to be a big Talmid Chacham. Who has the right to be appointed Rebbe in a yeshiva? And who has the right to be appointed a Rosh Yeshiva? So the Gemara says it depends. To be appointed a Rebbe in the yeshiva, he has to know Bechorah Masechta. He has to be, let's say the yeshiva is learning Shabbos this year. So the Gemara sounds like it says, you're not allowed to appoint a Rebbe in the yeshiva unless he can answer any question that may possibly be asked in the Homa Sichta from the beginning to the end. So we can all resign. No one can be appointed a Rebbe in Yeshiva unless Sholem Oso, what does it want to say? Sholem Oso Alocha B'chol Makom V'yomro. They'll ask him a question anywhere and he can answer. What do you mean anywhere? Anywhere and everywhere. They can ask him in Zvachim and Menachos. No. The Gemara says to be appointed a Rebbe in Yeshivi, B'chod HaMesichta B'yasrei. If he knows this Mesichta Shabbos, then he's allowed to, you're allowed to appoint him B'yasrei to be a local Rebbe in Yeshivi. Ibekuli Tenuya. But if he knows to answer questions in all of Shisha Sivri Mishnah, in all of Talmud, then he has a right to be appointed Bereish Masifta, to be appointed the Rosh Yeshiva. There was the Yeridus Hadoris. Okay. So there are different kololim for Talmid HaChacham. Different. Talmid HaChacham to be appointed a Rebbe in the Yeshiva. Talmid HaChacham to be appointed a Reish Masifta, in charge of the whole Yeshiva, I guess. Then a Talmid HaChacham in the Gear to the Bnei Huev, Mitzuvan Lassam Lach. There are various different deals. Okay. Then Gemara gives Reish Lakish gives a different shot. He said before there's a Mishnah Mikvois that speaks about Chatzitzes. Minatar it's only a Chatzitze Anodam Akelim if it's Rubo Yomakbid. And the Rabbanon, that's the Gemara in Erevin, in the beginning of Erevin, Dabdalad, in the beginning of Sukkot Dabdalad. The same Gemara says Minatar has to be a Rubo Yomakbid. And the Rabbanon, they were going there that it's considered a Chatzitze even if it's Rubo Vena Makbid or Miuto Yomakbid. See, in the Mishnah is talking about a little stain, a little grease stain on the clothing. It's only a miut, but the question is he makbid, is he not makbid? And the Mishnah says it depends. If it's shalbanayim, then it's considered makbid, and then it constitutes chatzitza. So what does it mean, shalbanayim? So before Rabbi Yechanan said, what is my banayim? Amar Rabbi Yechanan, elo tamid hachacham shoski bibinyan shalom kol yimeim. And in Tamachach, Mishinim to Revab al Bikter, is Chayv Misa. We had that before, that was also Rabbi Yechanan. So that's why tamid hachacham have to be more makbid on the stains on their clothing. And that's Rabbi Yechanan Reb Shat in the Mishnah. And Reish Lakish now says, Reish Lakish Amana, when the Mishnah says, Shel Banoim, it's considered a miyut ha-makbid, and therefore it's a chatzitza. Shel Banoim means, Bei Bani, Rashi says, the word where it says in Rashi, Le'el Daflam Gimelon Beis. Bei Bani is the Aramaic for a bathhouse. So in the bathhouse, they used to have special, what do you call it? Special, what do you call, jackets or bathrobes, a bathrobe. So if you pay a lot of money, you want a fancy bathrobe, you want an expensive bathrobe that should be thick and span and clean. And if there's any stain on the bathrobe, so they're going to be makpin on that. So that's what it means, shel banoim. It means the bathrobes in the bathhouse, in the expensive bathhouses, that they're makpin on. Okay, so it's makleg, Rabbi Yechanan, Reish Lakish. So going to the way Rabbi Yechanan learns the Mishnah Mikvos, it has a hemshech, has to do with what Rabbi Yechanan said before, that a Talmid Chacham has to be makbid on the cleanliness of his gadim, that he shouldn't have any stain. Fine. Kankur Shlomish has nothing to do with anything. The Mishnah Mikvos has nothing to do with anything. I think we mentioned when we were learning the Gemara earlier, Rashi's opinion in Erevin, Dav Dalet, in Sukkah Dav Dalet, whenever that Gemara appears, the Ruba Yo Makbid, Menator it's only Ruba Makbid, but Rabbanon even Ruba Vena Makbid, and so on. The Rashi's opinion in many places is that a chatzitz on the body, even miut sheina makbid, is always a chatzitz. These klolim rubay makbid only goes on the hair. The Gemara says, learns out from a pasuk, verachetz is called b'sar b'mayim, es is marbe, the hair, es atofel b'sara, that even the seir also needs tefillah in the mikveh. One could have argued the point and said, as long as my body is submerged under the mikveh, I have long hair and the hair is sticking out of the mikveh, I was tovel in the mikveh. So you need a pasuk that says, V'rochat es, es is always ma'ab for something that's tovel for something else. Like, es Hashem al-kechati, or the rabbis tamid ha-chacham, not only do you have to show mora from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to have mora rabbach k'mora shamayim. So that's learned out, Rabbi Akiva learns that up in the pasuk, es Hashem al-kechati. So the Marami Prague explains in a sefer on the agadas of the Gemara. Why? Because the tamid ha-chachamim are sort of tofel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's like Hashem Alekecha v'hatofel lo. The tofel lo is the Talmid Chacham. Or it says, V'lo yeochel es b'sora b'al asher nochi. How does it say? B'ashar niskal. This week's parsha, Parshas Mishpatim. So it says, V'lo yeochel es b'sora, that the shara niskal is also b'hanor. If the Bezdin makes a gmardin. If you shechted before Bezdin shechted, k'adim shenig b'adin amuta b'hanor. Shachta lachas shenig mandin. And the Gemara says in Baba Kama daf mem hey, if you shecht ushan niskal after bez the made the Gemara din, then everything is also banos. So the Gemara says not only is the lo yachal es b'saro, not only the flesh of the shan niskal is also banos, even the or is also also banos. Where? But it says b'saro. So the answer is no. It says es lo yachal es b'saro. Es hatofel b'saro is an allusion to the or that hanu asoro is also sedin menater. So here the Gemara learns up in the pasuk. Verachat es bisara ba mayim. Bisara would have meant he has to be tovel his body in a mikveh. Verachat es atofel the bisara refers to the seir, that you have to have tefillah in a mikveh on the seir as well. So that's learned out of some new din. So Rashi says, and that new din, that new gzeris hakosav, that's not enough tefillah on the body. You need tefillah on the seir as well. There's a din. I mean, atar it's only a chatzitza on the seir if it's rubo yomakbid and so on. And with the Rabbanon, even miyota makbid alone, or rubavena makbid alone is enough to make chatzitz. But Rashi's opinion seems to be, but on the body, if you have a chatzitz on the body, even miyosheino makbid will constitute a chatzitz in atar. That seems to be that's the minig oilam. The minig is in the Torah, and you're there, quotes from the Rabbeinu Peretz, that the minig of the women is that they remove all chatzitzes from the body. What are they? Some medaktik in bed. Some miyachain or makbid. What do they go crazy for? The answer is because according to Rashi, that whole story of ruba, makbid, and everything only goes on the seyer. And on the goof, adam, on the basar, on the surface of the skin, any little chatzitz, even if it's a miyachain or makbid, is also a chatzitz in atar. So Taisa says to Rashi, how can you say that? It's absolutely wrong. Here the Mishnah says in mikvoyos. What are we talking about over here? A stain on the begodim. So the Mishnah said, the stain on the beged is not the 51% of the beged, a little stain. Person has a shirt. There's a little stain. A madas hachamar has a little stain. So it's only a miyut. So the Mishnah proceeds to discuss, is it a miyut ha-makbid, is it a miyut shen-ha-makbid? It is a talmud chacham, or if it's the bathrobe from the bathhouse, and people spend a lot of money for that Rish Lakish Zibshad, then it's a miyut ha-makbid. And if it's not a talmud chacham, and it's not the bathhouse, so it's a miyut shen-ha-makbid, so it's okay. So you see beferish that the rules and regulations of miyut ha-makbid, miyut shen-ha-makbid, apply to Kalim. So according to Rashi, it only applies to the fuzz on the Kalim. No, it's talking about the clothing. It's talking about the bathrobe. It's talking about the shirt, trousers, the pajamas, whatever he was talking about. Yeah? It's talking about the actual beggar. It's not talking about the fuzz on top of the beggar. So according to Rashi, the whole story about Ruba and Makbid, etc., only goes on the Seyor. Doesn't go on the goof, so why does the whole story apply to the Kli? So that's one of the kashas that Tesis asks against Rashi. And says that another kasha, that there's a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, a famous Gemara. The Gemara says, "Mu'berish and his gaira b'no ein otzorech tvila." A non-Jewish woman is pregnant and she decides she wants to convert, so she goes to mikveh, and you have a bezn of shlosha dayon and present when she's tovel in the mikveh. So the tvila in the mikveh is oila lo legeusa. It's a tvila that's oila for her, and it's oila for the uber as well. When the uber will be born, he will not require a second tefillah in order to convert. He's yotzei with the mother's tefillah. So Gemara asked Akasha, how is that good? But the rules and regulations, so the answer is, why not? But the uber is under the mikveh, under the surface of the water, the mikveh is not. So the Gemara says, no, but the mother's body is the hachatzitza. So you're going to say that it's eino makta, the baby's very happy inside the mother's womb. He doesn't want to get out. So maybe it's the mother's body doesn't constitute a chatzitza around the baby, because he's ain't a makbid, the baby's not interested in shaking off the mother's body. So the Gemara says that's not the correct explanation, because this whole din that minatori need dafke ruboy your makbid, that's only if you're talking about ruboy. But if you have kuloy, if you have a chatzitza that covers the entire baby, none of the water in the mikveh touches the baby at all. The baby's in an embryonic sac inside the mother's body, so none of the water touches the baby. So that's kuloy. So kuloy, the Gemara says for sure is a chatzitza, even if you ain't a makbid. Kula is absolutely a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, how can you make such a statement? Muberish and his gaira b'no ein tzorach tefila, because he's yotze with the tefila of the mother. How can it be yotze with the tefila of the mother? The mother's body is a chatzitza kula. She's completely being chaytzitz around the uber. So the Gemara answers, even though it's such a chatzitza kula, nonetheless, the halacha doesn't consider it a chatzitza, because Heiner Revise, since that's the only way for the baby to develop. That's the way the Rabbanu Shalom created it from Sheshes Mei Breshes. Babies always have to be inside the mother in order to develop and to be born into this world. So that's why the mother's body is not considered a chassid. It's based on that Gemara, Hayna Ravise, that the poskim say that if a person has a medical condition and he needs something on his body in order to heal his sickness, so since he needs it, Hayna Ravise, so that blends into the part of the body. Just like the mother's body surrounding the uber is necessary medically in order that the uber should be able to be born, to develop. If you have anything else, any even though it's not exactly 100% the same, you can say the mother's body and the baby's body, it's all one. That's a natural entity. It's one entity naturally. And over here, the two different things. Let's say you have my teeth are falling apart, so the dentist puts in fillings. So we say, Haida Ravise. Since you want to put in fillings in order that the teeth should last longer, so it's healthier like that, so that's the way you do it. That's normal. And since it's absolutely normal, it's not considered a chatzitza. Yeah, but it's not the same. The mother, the baby, that's natural. And the filling is artificial. The dentist puts it in. So the Rishonim learned out in that Gemara a broader picture. Rav Moshe has long tshuvas about this, that whatever is Hayna Ravise, whatever is necessary for the health of the person is not considered a chatzitza. He has a lot of details about it. When yes, when no. What about temporary fillings? We're going to take it out. So the Tosfos, yes, this is a kasha against Rashi also. Rashi says that these rules and regulations of rubo and makbid and so on only apply to the seor, but on the gufa or the itself, any little chatzitza called the hu, even a miu chain or makbid, constitutes a chatzitza. So what is the Gemara hacking over there? The Gemara says, let the mother's body be a chatzitza for the uber. How is the tefillah in the mikvah oil for the uber inside her body for the gerus? Let the mother's body be a chatzitza. And then the Gemara says, and even a baby is not makbid. What's the kasha? The kasha doesn't get off the ground. You're only worried about being tevil the baby's hair. No, you're being worried about, you're considering being tevil the whole body of the baby. Whole body of the baby, even a miyochena makbid is a chatzitza. So what does the Gemara have to say? And even though the baby is not makbid, but it's kuloi, and kuloi, even though it's ain't a makbid, is a chatzitza. What do they have to go so far? Just say, on the body, any little chatzitza is a chatzitza. So that places two kashas. Don't you see from Mishnah Mikrois that the rules of Rubio Makbid, Niyotah Makbid, apply to Kalim? So Kalim is parallel to the Gufa Adam. That's not like the Seyor. And the Gemara in Yivam Zafan Chesam and Aleph applies it to the Uba. The Uba is also the Gufa Adam. That is Rashi say that these klolim of Rubo and Makbid only apply to the Seyor, doesn't apply to the Gufa Adam. So the Pashtus is the case to demolish Chita. That's Rashi. How can you possibly restore Rashi? How can you defend Rashi? So the Rishonim are not fazed by the Tosfos Kasha. The Rishonim say that Rashi is of the opinion that the laws of Chatzitza for Gufa Adam are more severe than the laws of Chatzitza for Kelim. That even though this Kula of Rubai, Sheino Makbid, and Miyuta Makbid, and so on, the leniencies only apply to the hair, not to the Gufa Adam, but all the leniencies do carry over to Kelim. All the laws of Chatzitza by Seir, the Kulas of Chatzitza by Seir, carry over to Kelim. And the same is true for an Uber. An Uber wasn't born yet. When does Rashi hold the opinion that even a miyut she'eino makbid constitutes a chatzitza on the Gufa Adam? That's only if the person is a yolud, he was born already. But if the Uber wasn't born yet, then the Uber has all the leniencies of Tfilas Kelim. It has all the leniencies of Hilchas Chatzitza of Tfilas Kelim, or the leniencies of Hilchas Chatzitza and Seir. No. That's what Tosfos didn't like those two roots. So Tosfos thinks not like Rashi. Yeah. That's Dama Pela in the Gemara. How can it be if the mother's conversion is valid, and then she has another 2-3 months to go, and then the baby bounces out? So you say the mother's a Yiddish mother, and the baby bounces out, a baby bounces out, a goy. How can a Jewish mother give birth to a goyish baby? Is that possible? Is that possible? So that's a problem. I don't know why nobody woke up with that problem until 100 years ago. Shimon Shkof and others, they were working on that problem. So they give Hezberim. They give Hezberim. Why? That really, what they answer in effect is, Rav Soloveitchik said it like this, Rav Shimon Shkof has it a little differently, it's basically the same thing. Rav Soloveitchik worded it like this. He said, the Gemara in Yevamos says that for a ger, we spoke on Parshas Yisro, for a ger, the process of conversion requires, if he's a male, you need Mila, and if he's not a male, you just need a Tfilah and the Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs and the Karban. So what if you have a Gersh in his Gayer, and he only had Mila, he didn't have Tila. He only had Tila, he didn't have Mila. Is the Gersh valid or not? So there's a difference of opinion in the Gemara, different opinions. So we Taskin that Mol V'Loi Toval is not a Ger. A Toval V'Loi Mol is also not a Ger. If you only have one without the other, he's not a Ger. But there is one opinion. Ben Gurion had his opinion also. There was a whole scandal, a whole world war. And so Ben Gurion decided all you need is Mila, you don't need Tefillah. You don't need Tefillah. Mila is a visible thing, Tefillah is invisible, so you don't need Shem. So the Rabbanim in the world didn't agree with Mr. Ben Gurion. But there's one opinion in the Tanoim like that. That only the Mila is Likuv and the Tefillah is not Me'akev. One Tanoim holds only the Tefillah is Me'akev and the Mila is not Me'akev. So if it's not Me'akev, so why do you need it L'chatzilah? Whenever you have a mitzvah that you have part of it is not miyakiv, let's say chalitza. So when a man is married and he dies and he leaves no children, not from this wife, not from a previous marriage, doesn't leave any children or descendants at all, so his wife has to, and he has a brother, so the brother has to do chalitza for the yivama, for the almana. So the chalitza, lechatzila, consists of three parts. She has to remove the shoe, the right shoe from the right foot of the yavam. And then she has to recite psukim, he recites psukim, and then she has to sit on the floor in front of him. So there's a difference of opinion among the Tanaim. So we pass him that the kriyas of psukim is not miyake, and the rikika is not miyake. The only thing that's miyake is the chalitza sandal, take him off the shoe. So if it's not miyake b'diavet, so what do you need it l'chatchila for? So do it b'diavet? What do you need l'chatchila? So the answer is no. Chalitza is a mitzvah, not just a matir. A get is only a matir. There's no mitzvah to give a get. So there's no Tosfos points out that there can't be a concept on the level of the Raisa of Lachatchila. The get should be written like that. And B'di'evet, the get was written like this, is also kosher. You have a lot of times in Mishnah, Lachatchila should be like this. And B'di'evet is good without that. So that's a dead giveaway that Lachatchila is only Midirabbana. There is no Lachatchila deraisa in a matir. If it's Muta B'di'evet without it, so it's Muta Lachatchila also without it. Why should you do it better, bigger and better? If the thing is a matter, is matter without it, so what do you need it for? So obviously the lachatzila can only be midirabbana. But in chalitza, Taisus points out, chalitza is a mitzvah. Look, you can't say it's only lachatzila midirabbana. It's a pasuk in chumash. It says you need kriya, v'yomro, v'yomar. There's the kriyas of psukim with the rikika, is psukim in chumash. Of course you need it lachatzila deraisa. So Taisus says that's obvious, that chalitza is a mitzvah, it's not just a matter. So if you do the mitzvah with everything, then you mekayim the mitzvah b'shnei Musa, so you get a bigger share in Olam Haba, you get a bigger piece of Lev Yosef. Smaller piece, whichever is healthier. Smaller piece of Lev Yosef. Less cholesterol, or whatever the case happens to be. Healthier, they give you healthier Lev Yosef. Okay. And if you do the mitzvah shalom b'shnei Musa, then you get less reward by Olam Haba. So the Tanoim, that's what Rav Soloveitchik points out. The right Tanoim are of the opinion that only the Mila is Ma'akev, the Tefillah is not Me'akev. But one Tana holds only the Tefillah is Ma'akev, the Mila is not Me'akev. We don't pass like that. We pass on everything is Me'akev, except for the Hakrovas HaKorban. So according to the Tanaim hold that either the Tefillah is not Me'akev, the Mila is not Me'akev, so why do you need it L'chatchila? The answer is that's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah la ger hamizgayer. Li kuva, the only thing that's Me'akev is the Kabbalah on mitzvahs with the Mila. Or according to one Tana, the Kabbalah on mitzvahs with the Tefillah. And the Korban is not Me'akev. And the other thing, either the Mila Tzil is also not Miyake. But in order to fulfill the mitzvah Bishlei Musa, there is no mitzvah on non-Jews to convert. That's not from the Shem and Mitzvah's been enough. But there is a mitzvah, any non-Jew who converted should see to it that he undergoes the whole conversion ceremony, the whole conversion process. And if he doesn't do the mitzvah, so that the Tanaim is going to be Jewish anyway. The fellow is going to be Jewish, the person is going to be Jewish anyway, but he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah that he should undergo. The convert, who already converted, should undergo the mitzvahs of Geir. So we happen to paskin that you don't, that whole analysis is irrelevant. Because we paskin everything is market, the Mila, the Tefila, and the Kabbalah on mitzvahs is market. So if you didn't have everything, you didn't have the Mila, Tefila, and the Kabbalah on mitzvahs, so the fellow's not Jewish. So there's nothing to discuss. No question, what do you need it for? If you want to become Jewish, you got to undergo the whole process. But over here, in this case, that's what Rav Shimon Mishkop has, and that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Rav Shimon has the words are differently. And Rav Soloveitchik worded like that. If you have the mother already, the conversion on the mother was valid. She was tovel in the mikveh. The fact that there's a baby inside, that doesn't constitute a chatzitza. A chatzitza in the Beis Avliya, chatzitza bebalua doesn't pose a problem. Chatzitza between the teeth, that's called Beis Astorin. But if it's chatzitza inside the body, that's even deeper inside, balua. So the poskim and Yeridei say that's not called a chatzitza at all. So the fact that the mother's conversion is valid, that's a double push. Mother's tovel in the mikvah, she converts. The mother gives birth to the baby, so the baby is Jewish. A baby born from a Jewish mother is automatically going to be Jewish. The shaila is that the baby started off, the pregnancy started off, the baby was non-Jewish. If the baby would be harasa v'lei dosa b'kedusha, the mother became pregnant with the baby after she was tovel in the mikveh, then the baby doesn't have even a mitzvah to undergo the ma'aseh hageiros. But the baby was harasa shalom b'kedusha v'lei dosa b'kedusha. He did undergo, he was originally non-Jewish, because the pregnancy began before the mother was tovel in the mikveh. So the baby is it's an interesting case. You have a non-Jew who became Jewish. He beat the system. The non-Jew became Jewish. He didn't need any. He didn't need milah, tefillah, or korban. He didn't need anything. He didn't need kabbalas or mitzvahs. He became Jewish because he started off as a Jew, but then he was born from a Jewish mother. So automatically he became Jewish. So that's when we agree with these tanoim, that sometimes you need milah and tefillah, the shame mitzvahs, geirus, even though it's not likud, even though the baby's going to be Jewish anyway. In a normal case of a convert, we never have that, because it's not just le mitzvah b'yalma. No, it's li kuva. He's not Jewish at all. But in this case, by the baby, so that's what the Gemara says. The baby started off as a non-Jew. And then when he's born, he becomes Jewish because he was born to a Jewish mother. So then the Gemara assumes that he has a mitzvah to undergo the ma'aseh hageiros. So the Gemara says, under normal circumstances, the tefillah that the mother did is oila for the baby. It's considered as if the baby was also tevil in the mikveh. So later when the baby will be born, there will be no need to be makvil the baby again a second time. That's what we mentioned yesterday, that the dogma of Ovar, the comments of the Nerev Yehuda printed on the side of the page in the Yerideya, the dogma of Ovar says, what if the Bezdin wasn't aware at the time that the mother was tevil? They were not aware that she was pregnant. So then, let's say the beginning of the pregnancy, she knows and she didn't tell him. She didn't know either. So then he thinks, Nerev Yehuda thinks that that's not a good gerus. That's not a good tefillah for the baby. So the baby, when he's born, will have to be tovel in the mikveh again. Even though, what do you mean? But he's not a ger. The baby is not a ger. The baby was born to a Jewish mother, so he's automatically Jewish. But still, since the pregnancy, at the time of pregnancy, he was a goy. Later on, he became Jewish by being born to a Jewish mother. So there's a mitzvah for the baby to undergo the ma'aseh geirus. So he's going to have the tefillah later, l'shem geirus. He will require a tefillah later, l'shem geirus, in the presence of a bezin. And the same thing, the milah. Milah will also have to be done, l'shem geirus, later on.
In the first 40 days,
that
we read
that's considered
the tefillah
day. That's a discussion. The Dvar Avraham was the rabbi in Kovna before he died in the middle of the Second World War. The Nazis didn't have a chance to kill him. He died from the sickness in the Jewish ghetto. So he learned in Valozhin under Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He was a member of the family, Soloveitchik family, and he was a student of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So he quotes in his sefer, to answer a certain kasha, he says, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said, it depends whether it's within the 40 days or after the 40 days, when the mother was tovel in the mikveh. When the non-Jewish mother who was pregnant was tovel in the mikveh, so if she was pregnant, if the pregnancy was less than 30 days, that's ma'ir b'yalma. So then it's considered, the baby is considered as if it were hairasa v'lo yidasa b'kedusha. Even though the pregnancy began before, but that doesn't count as hairasa shalo b'kedusha. But if the pregnancy was more than 40 days at the time that the mother was tevil, so then I say that that's called hairasa shalo b'kedusha v'lo yidasa b'kedusha, and then you would have a mitzvah to be matbil, the uber. And the bezin has to be aware at the time the mother is tevil, or they would have to be tevil the baby later after he's born. But if the mother's pregnancy at the time that she converted was within the first 40 days of the pregnancy, then he says that's considered harasa v'leidasa b'kedushin, and you wouldn't have to do a tefillah later on. Because the Gemara has an expression that the first 40 days of pregnancy is considered, the uber is considered ma'idiyam. So it's considered as if there's nothing there yet. It's just an erev law. Okay, so this Mishnah was one of the two kashas that Tosis quoted against Rashi. The Mishnah says Beferish that in the Guf HaKli there's a discussion of Miotam Makbid versus Miotcheno Makbid. Shouldn't the Guf HaKli be parallel to the Guf HaAdam? So according to Rashi, that the laws of Chatzitza, the leniency in Hilchas Chatzitza, if it's a Miotcheno Makbid, it doesn't constitute a Chatzitza, that's only on Seor. But in the Guf Adam, there is no such leniency. So why does that leniency apply to the Kalim? Why does it apply to the God? So Tosfos holds that this is a Tiyufta against Rashi. So the Ur Zaruah comes to defend Rashi. So he says, Rashi holds that the laws of Chatzitza are different by Tfilas Guf Adam and by Tfilas Guf HaKalim. It's not, Rashi is not the only one who holds like that. There are rights, the Farish, that there are differences L'choladeh between Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he quotes a Rash. Rash has a Tosefta like that. The Gemara learns that in Kiddushin, the end of in the middle of the first prayer, Gemara learns that if a person is table in a mikveh and they have something stuck in their teeth, it's a chatzitza. So even though when you go to the mikveh, you don't have to open up your mouth, you don't require bias mayim in the beis ha-storim, but royal bias mayim you do require. So if there's a chatzitza stuck in between the teeth, the Gemara says that Shivcha Shel Beis Rebbe went to be tovel in the mikveh, and after she was tovel, she found that she had a bone stuck in between her teeth, and Rebbe told her she has to be tovel in the mikveh again, even though you don't need bias mayim chatzitza pasos. So the Rasha Mishnah is that on that din there's a big machlokes whether that's a din deraita, din derabbanan. That halacha that even though you don't need bias mayim in the beis hasan, but you need royal bias mayim. So the Ritva says that that's only a chumra midirabbanan, and a lot of achrayim made that Ritva popular. The Marsham was known as a big mekel, so this was a kula. So the Marsham likes that. So he thinks that that's ganz good. And Tosfos holds the favorite not so. Tosfos says the common mekel says that din in the Gemara is a din deraisa. Chatzitza in the beis hasan by Adam is a din deraisa. So that's the question, whether that din is deraisa or derabbanan. But I'll call upon it by Kalim, the Rasha Mishnayis Mikvos quotes a Tosefta that by Kalim the din does not apply, period. Doesn't apply min atar, doesn't apply min derabbanan. That a chatzitza in the beis hasan of a kli does not bother me. That's the chol ha-deis. Then there are a couple of other slight differences between Tfilas Adam and Tfilas Kalim. Some of them I'll talk about later in Masech HaShabbos. There's a sugya later about the shoe with the flaps that are ripped. Forgot already where it is. Call it Kalim. Forgot. So there's Anat Gemara, the Acharenim point out, the Tziv and others point out that there are differences in Tosef, there's slight differences between Tfilas Adam as opposed to Tfilas Kalim. That you're more, slightly more machmer on the level of the Raisa. Slightly more machmer in Tfilas Adam than you are in Tfilas Kalim. So that's apparently Rashi's opinion over here. That the Miyachena Makhtir on the Kli is not a Chatzitza, and on the Guf Adam would be a Chatzitza. By the Adam, the only thing we make on the Miyachena Makhtir would be on the Seah. Okay, enough. Interesting Gemara. Let's see, we're up to the last five lines on the daf. So the Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah now. The Mishnah quoted a Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva about making the beds on Yom Kippur for Shabbos. So it says, you're not allowed to avlo mi Shabbos l'matzoi Shabbos. Not allowed to make the bed on Shabbos l'matzoi Shabbos. And this is Hachana. This is what we know as Hachana. That's not to be confused with Hachana the Rabbah. Hachana the Rabbah in the beginning, the first daf and beis, so that's a din deraisa. And this is only a din midirabbanan. This is only halacha midirabbanan. That's why once in a while we'll make on the story of Hachana. This is not a din deraisa. So regarding this din derabbanan, there is a machloikis hatanoim. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, are you permitted to do an act of Hachana which is not a malacha? If you're doing a malacha, of course you're not allowed to do a malacha on Yom Kippur for Shabbos. The question is, are you permitted to do an act of hachana shein bo malacha for on Yom Kippur for Shabbos? But Gabbai wants to roll the Sefer Torah on Yom Kippur in order to have it ready for Shabbos Shuvah, for the Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos Shuvah. Is that allowed? So Rabbi Shmuel says that it is allowed. Mekaplam es hakelim and matzim es hamitzus on Yom Kippur for Shabbos. Why? So he thinks that Shabbos is on a higher madrega than Yom Kippur, and that's how he says, we mentioned the Achrenim in the back say, that's how Rabbi Shmuel says in Maseches Megillah, that on Yom Tov he gives 5 aliyahs, on Yom Kippur he gives 6 aliyahs, Shabbos gives 7 aliyahs. He knows that Shabbos is more important than Yom Kippur. That's why you have more aliyahs on Shabbos, and that's why there's no prohibition to do an act of Hachone on Yom Kippur for Shabbos. Let's take this, to roll up the Sefer Torah on Yom Tov for Shabbos, that everybody agrees you're allowed to. The Chola days, and Rabbi Kivega points out, even though you didn't make an Erev Tav Shilin, because on Yom Kippur for Shabbos you don't make an Erev Tav Shilin. So it's Tamut. There's no the prohibition with the Rabbanim to do Achana, believe Malacha. They never asked it if you're doing it on a Yontif that has a lesser Kedusha on behalf of Shabbos. To do Achana on Yontif for Shabbos is Mutter. To do Achana on Yom Kippur for Shabbos, that's the Machlokes. Rabbi Shmuel says Mutter, because Shabbos is higher. And Rabbi Kivega thinks that you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to do the Achana on Yom Kippur for Shabbos. Okay, so the Hachmana story, that's an issue of the Rabbanan. But they argue also on the level of the Raisa. Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion, Chel v'Shabbos kreivim Yom Kippur, avaloich shol Yom Kippur b'Shabbos. The Mishnah is talking about an instance where Yom Kippur falls out either on Friday or on Sunday. According to our Luach today, it never happens. Why don't we want, why we rig the whole Luach? We arrange the Luach in such a way that Rosh Hashanah never falls out lo adurosh. Rosh Hashanah never falls out on us. First day Rosh Hashanah never falls out on a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Friday. That's Aleph Dalet Vav. So that's called lo adurosh. Why? Why do we insist that Rosh Hashanah shouldn't fall out? There's nothing wrong with Rosh Hashanah falling out on Aleph Dalet Vav. The problem is, let's see, if Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out on a Wednesday, so Yom Kippur is going to fall out 9 days later. Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Tishrei. So 9 days later is going to be Thursday, Friday. So Yom Kippur is going to be a Friday. Or if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Vav, on a Friday, then Yom Kippur is going to be 9 days later, it's going to be on a Sunday. So that we don't want. We don't want Yom Kippur to fall out either on a Friday or on a Sunday. So therefore, Dalet Vav, you don't let Rosh Hashanah, so we have to rig it in such a way that Rosh Hashanah should never fall out. First day Rosh Hashanah should not fall out to be on a Wednesday or a Friday. What's the great disaster if Yom Kippur falls out on a Friday or on a Sunday? So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah there are two concerns. There's Mishum Meisaya or Mishum Yarkaya. Meisaya means that if there are people dying every day. There are people dying every day. So there's an inyan to bury a body. The body's going to decompose. It's going to start to smell. It's a design amaze. Today they have freezers, so it's not such a big problem. But in the days of the Gemara, it was a big problem. The bizoyin ames is going to be terrible if you don't bury the mess right away. So on Yontif Rishon, we permit burying Al Yidei Nochrim. Yontif Sheni, we even permit sometimes burying Al Yidei Yisrael. But on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, we don't allow any burials at all. I feel like they akum. So if you're going to have, alright, so you wait. So whoever dies on Shabbos will be buried the next day. But if you have 2 days in a row, Yom Kippur next to Shabbos, either Yom Kippur is going to be Friday, Yom Kippur is going to be Sunday, so Mishum Messiah, because of the dead people, are going to die on the first of the 2 days. And you're going to have to hold them over for 48 hours till you're going to bury them, so that'll be a disaster. So that's one consideration, one reason why we don't allow it. That's not a good question. Why is it that we permit Kvura on Yom Tavrishan Ayidei Akum, but we don't permit Kvura on Shabbos or Yom Kippur Ayidei Akum? What's the difference? Why is Shabbos and Yom Kippur so much more chomer that we don't permit Kvura Ayidei Akum? So Tosis and Bava Kama talks about that, and the Ramban later, Kuf Nandala talks about that, because there's a Mishnah later about Kvura on Shabbos. Let's say you're not allowed to have the goy transport flutes in order to have the kvura on Sunday, so that's where the Ramban has the discussion. And later in the Masechta and the Tosfos in Baba Kama. So that's another discussion. So that's one consideration, Mishum Messiah. Then the Gemara says there's another consideration, Mishum Yarkaya. That in the days of the Gemara, they used to always eat fresh vegetables. In America today, a lot of people never see any fresh vegetables. They eat everything canned goods. They eat candy bars, Coca-Cola. No, a lot of people never eat fresh vegetables. In the days of the Tanaim, that was considered absolutely normal. Everyone has to eat fresh vegetables. So Shabbos, Yom Kippur, you don't eat anyway. But Matzah Yom Kippur, you have to eat. Shabbos, you don't have fresh vegetables, so you cut the vegetables off yesterday. But if you're going to have Yom Kippur is going to fall out on a Friday, then the vegetables will have to have been plucked on Thursday, so they're going to be a day old. When you eat the vegetables on Shabbos, they're going to be a day old, and that's considered a disaster. Said, by us, we're not margish a disaster. We have refrigerators, so you leave all the vegetables in the refrigerator. So what's the problem? But in the days of the Tanaim, they had no refrigeration, so that was considered a problem. What do they need this additional problem of Yarkaya, of the vegetables? Why don't you just say Messiah? The dead bodies are going to have 2 days in a row that you can't bury anybody. So that's another discussion. The Gemara says Mishum Yarkaya or Mishum Messiah. Messiah covers both cases, whether Yom Kippur is on Friday or on Sunday. And Yarkaya only covers this one case, where Yom Kippur is on Friday, that you won't have fresh vegetables on Shabbos. But if Yom Kippur is on Sunday, Yarkaya doesn't explain anything. On Shabbos, you'll have fresh vegetables that you cut off on Friday. Yom Kippur, you don't eat anything anyway. I mean, for the little babies. So the Cholim Miskenim and the Ketanim have to eat on Yom Kippur, so Nebuch, they're not going to have fresh vegetables. No. I don't know. So that's a discussion in Rosh Hashanah. What do they need? Two reasons, Yarkaya and Messiah. Anyway, so that is So that is why today, Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah can never fall out on a Wednesday or a Friday, Dalet Vav, because Yom Kippur will, if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Wednesday, Yom Kippur will fall out on a Friday. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Friday, Yom Kippur will fall out on a Sunday. Why don't we permit Rosh Hashanah to fall out on a Sunday? Lo Adu Rosh, what's wrong with Aleph? So the Gemara says in Sukkah, that's another concern. That if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Sunday, then 3 weeks later will be Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah will turn out to be on a Shabbos. And Hoshana Rabbah falls on a Shabbos, then you can't shlog Hoshinus. And what is the story with Hoshinus? Hoshinus is only a minhag. The Gemara says it's not a real deal. The Machlokes and the Gemara we pass them, it's only a minhag. That's why we don't. That's why when we clap Hoshinus, we don't recite the bracha. The Gemara says chavetz chavetz v'lo yibarach. They saw one of the Amoraim didn't say a bracha. He was clapping the Hoshinus and he didn't say a bracha. Why not? Because it's only a minhag. So if Hoshana Rabbah falls on our Shabbos, we will not be able to observe the minhag of clapping Hoshinus. So like the world. And if Hoshana falls on our Shabbos, you don't observe the din d'oraisa tkiyas shofar. That we're not crying about. Why? Is only because Hoshana Rabbah is going to fall on our Shabbos. I mean, the minhag is so much more important than a din atayra. The meaning of clapping Hoshinus on Hoshana Rabbah is more important. Very strange what's going on. There's some secret of Kabbalah over here. So Tosfos says, no secret of Kabbalah. Tosfos says, if the first day Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, they blow shofar tomorrow. Yeah, but tomorrow is only Midi Rabbanan. Today is D'oraisa. I don't know. That's what Tosfos says. And Hoshana Rabbah is only one day, and you're going to miss the minig, and it's going to be a loss. It'll be a hefset. We don't really understand what it is, but there must be some logic to it. So that's what the Gemara says. We have rigged the calendar in such a way that Bizman Hazeh, Rosh Hashanah never falls out, not on Aleph or Dalet or Vav, because of these considerations. How come here the Mishnah discusses Yom Kippur falling out on Friday or on Sunday? How is that possible? The Tosfos on the next daf, on the bottom of Kuf Yud Dalet and Aleph, it says on this side that this Tosfos really belongs on our Mishnah. Shaykh Liyod, the Mishnah Kuf Yud Gimel and Aleph. The printer made a mistake. In other words, he should have really printed this on the Mishnah. So Tosfos has a comment, Oh Marie, how can it be that Yom Kippur falls out on a Friday or on a Sunday? Whenever you have Mishnayos or Brises that speak about Trei Shabbi, David, Bahadi, Hadadi, two Shabbos and one next to the other, back to back, Shabbos next to Yom Kippur, either Yom Kippur Friday, Yom Kippur on Sunday, it's Shaloi Kahalocha, Tosfos said. This follows the opinion of Acherim Omrim, that's Atana, Acherim Omrim. That for some reason or another they didn't want to identify him by name, so they call him Acherim Omrim. Their opinion is Ein Bein Atzeres LaAtzeres Ela Dalet Yomim Bilvad. Atzeres is what? Shavuos. So Shavuos, this day will be whatever on a Sunday. So they say that the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar, and every month consists of 29 and a half days. So you alternate. One month is going to have the Moilut is 29 and a half days, but you can't have a month that starts in the middle of the day. So the units of the month have to be units of days. So one month is going to have 30 days, one month is going to have 29 days. So you alternate 29, 30, 29, 30, and then you make up the year. So there's only going to be, how many days are there in if you have 12 months, and every other month is 30 days, and every other month is 29 days? So how many days does that add up to? 354. So how many weeks, if you divide that by 7 to see how many of these are units of weeks and how many days do you have left over? So divide 354 by 7. So you have how many weeks? 50 weeks and 4 days left over. So that's what this opinion, this time it says, Acherim Omrim, Ein Bein Atzeres LaAtzeres Ela Dal Yomim Vad. Whenever Atzeres falls out this year, Shavuos, falls out on a Sunday, so next year it'll be on a Thursday. It'll be 4 days later. Whenever Rosh Hashanah falls out this year, next year it'll be 4 days later. We're not allowed to rig anything. You have to make Rosh Chodesh when it's the time to make Rosh Chodesh. But it's going to turn out Yom Kippur is going to be on Friday or Sunday, and Shana Rab is going to be on a Shabbos, and it's going to be a disaster, whatever disaster may occur. You're not supposed to rig anything. By Iber Hashanah, the Gemara says, we always do like that. The Gemara says in the first Perek in Sanhedrin, that if the Bezdin hears that many, many people, thousands of Jews are traveling from Europe and Asia and Africa to come to participate in Korban Pesach, and they got stuck because of snowstorms, and they invested an awful lot of time, They used to take off a whole month to go and to come. They spent an awful lot of time to come. And if it turns out that there's going to be a snowstorm, they're going to miss everything, so it's going to be that they wasted all of their money. So the Tanoim would make it a Shanmu Beres. They throw it. Today, if you have already your tickets, your reservations, your plane trip, what do you mean make a Shanmu Beres? The last minute. You throw everything off kilter. What about the college year? And what about the classes and the vacation and everything? You make everybody crazy. Today is not shy, but in the days of the Tanaim, apparently life was much more relaxed. So if they make a Shana Moberes in the middle of nowhere, push off Pesach for a month, the people wouldn't complain. Adarabba, the pilgrims who were traveling, who invested so much time and money and effort and energy in coming to visit Yerushalayim for Pesach, they'll be very thrilled. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to make Shana Moberes because of side considerations. What's an example? If they hashlogim because there's snow on the highways and the pilgrims can't come, or the tanuri psochem sheni mochu, the Gemara says on one occasion everybody was coming to Yerushalayim and the tanurim in which they used to broil the korban pesach had been ruined because there was so much rain that year. There were earthenware tanurim; they were from Kli Cheres, so they had melted away in the rain because there was so much rain and snow. So they thought that they won't be able to make all the korbanos pesach in time. So they decided to make a Shana Mover, so they had an extra month to make new tanurim in order to prepare for the carbon Pesach. Or whatever other reasons. The Gemara has various reasons. Side reasons, totally extraneous reasons, has nothing to do with making the year, the lunar year, correspond to the solar year. Everything corresponds perfectly. Pesach is in the right season, and Sukkot is in the right season. Everything is the right season. And you're making Ibra Shana for an extraneous reason. Let's say one of our children is having a chasana and the rates go down. The rates go up, the rates go down. If it's January 1st or December 23rd or whatever, they're going to change the rate. So if I'm in the bez, I'll make Shana Moberes in order to get the lower rate. Or my son is going to be bar mitzvah and he's going to make a siyum and he didn't finish all the mishnayos. I'll make an extra Shana Moberes. I'll have another month to finish. So they may fire me for being a member of the bez to make a Shana Moberes because of my personal considerations and ignoring everybody else's considerations. But Allah says that that's legitimate. That even for side reasons he can do it. So the Gemara says that all the Tanaim agree that Ma'abir Masashana Litzora, you can declare Shana Moberes based on side tzarachim, even though the tzarach is not really essential to the year. It's not a tzarach of the year to make the lunar year correspond to the solar year. It's a totally extraneous tzarach. The Tanaim have a machlekes. Are you permitted to be Ma'abir Esachodesh? Are you allowed to rig the month to declare that this month should have 30 days? Really, there's no good reason in the world why I should have 30 days. It should really be 29 days. We're making it 30 days in order that Yom Kippur won't fall out on Friday or on Sunday. Or in order that Rosh Hashanah, in order that Hashanah Rabbah shouldn't fall out on the Shabbos. So that's the machlekes satanoim. So acherim say you're not allowed to. Ain bein atzeres latzeres el adalad yomim bilvad. You're not allowed to rig the calendar vis-a-vis Kiddush HaChodesh. Ibra Hashanah you may rig. But Kiddush HaChodesh is supposed to declare Rosh Chodesh when it's the correct time. And we paskin, not like Acherim, we paskin that just like Yishem Shem Abim Mishashana Litzorach, Kach Ma'abim Mishachodesh Litzorach, just like you can make an Ibra Hashana because of an extraneous consideration, so too you can make an Ibra Chodesh, you can make 29 days or 30 days, ignoring when the Moilot Halvana is. We can do that also if we have an overriding Torah. So these are considering the overriding. This is considered an overriding tzarach. In order to avoid having Yom Kippur on Friday or on Sunday. That's what Tosfos writes over here. Omeri, that's what the Ri says. That machlokes hatanaim acherim and the other tanoim, whether ma'abir mesa esa chodesh litzorech. That machlokes hatanaim applied both years ago, b'zman shehem mekatshim al pi haria, when they used to have Edom come and testify when they saw the new moon, and also after that whole system fell apart, and you no longer have Kiddush HaChodesh al pi haria, you have Kiddush HaChodesh al pi haChesed. The Bezin makes a calculation, they determine when they think Rosh Chodesh should fall out. So the same machlokes hatanaim, acherim, and the other tanaim applies in both periods of time. So the Rambam and a group of other Rishonim disagree with the Tosfos. They hold no, it's not true. That Bizman Shek, Tosfos is saying that just like we today have these considerations not to have Rosh Hashanah and Aleph Dalet Avav. So this was always the case, according to the way we paskin la'aloch against Acherim, that they were never supposed to have. If they would be ma'aber achodish l'tzorach, the din would be atem afilu mutim, atem afilu shogigim, the ibar achodish would be chal. The month would have 30 days instead of 29 days. You can't make a month with less than 29 days or more than 30 days. You can't make a year with less than 12 months or more than 13 months. That's out of the question. But within this range, 12 months or 13 months, and any month can have either 29 or 30 days. So there's a din, El Marash HaMashitikro, Osam Atem, because the Chos Avok. So whatever Bezen does is Chav. The Tesis opinion is that even Mizman Shekitshu Al Piyariya, there is also the Machlokes Acherim and the other Tanoim, and we don't hold like Acherim. So all along, they should never have had Yom Kippur falling out on a Friday or on a Sunday. The Bezen should always see to it that it should never happen. The Rambam thinks that it's not so. The Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi Ariyah, that's a different story. When the Eidim come, that's the Halacha. The Halacha is Kozei Rei B'Kadesh. The real mitzvah B'Shleimusa is to declare it Rosh Chodesh HaPi Eidim when the Eidim see the new Levana. So if they saw the moon and they come to want to make it Rosh Chodesh, then Bezen has an extraneous, they have a consideration why they don't want to make it Rosh Chodesh, because they don't want Yom Kippur to fall out on a Friday or a Sunday. So that's a bitla mitzvah of Achodesh HaZalachem, is the Yedim Ke. But when do you have the Rambam holds, when do you have the Machlokes HaTanaim, whether it's proper or improper, but even if you did Iber Achodesh L'Tzorach, everybody agrees that'll be Chal. Where do you have the, when, what period in history did you have the Machlokes HaTanaim, whether it's proper to take into consideration extraneous factors or not? So the Rambam said, that's only when you're doing Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi HaChesed, when you don't have Eidim, when it's not HaPi HaRiyah. That's of course because that's the Rambam, the Shitosa. The Rambam has a whole essay in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Rosh Hashanah where he attacks the Gaonim. A few of the Gaonim held that there never was a din of Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi HaRiyah Min HaTorah. There is no such thing. I tell them, what do you mean there is no such thing? That's what all the Mishnah described, that's what it always was. They say that was added on later. The real din der ice always was Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi HaChesed. And the HaPi HaRiyah is only the Rabbanan. The Rambam has a whole attack. What are you talking about? It's against all of Shas. How can they say such a thing? So the Rambam, the Shitasa, holds that there are two halachas. That the mitzvah b'shleimus of Kiddush HaChodesh, the mitzvah b'shleimusa of Kiddush HaChodesh is, the Rambam says that it's one mitzvah. Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibar HaShon is one mitzvah. Kviyas HaLuach, to establish the calendar. So the Rambam's opinion is that the mitzvah b'shleimusa of Kiddush HaChodesh is fulfilled when you have it al pi Eidim. So when you have al pi Ariyah, so that's not right to rig. All the Tanoim would agree that you shouldn't switch Rosh Chodesh to a different day because of Yarkai, Nesai, and so on. When is their machlekes? When the Kiddush HaChodesh, the mitzvah Kiddush HaChodesh, is not being fulfilled by Shlom Musa anyway, because you don't have Eidim coming and testifying for some reason or another, you're making Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi HaChesed. So then there's a machlokes, are you allowed to take into consideration these extraneous cheshbonos? And we pass them, yes, and the Acherim hold that no. And according to the Goyim, who holds that there is no yichus on the level of the Raisa, there is no yichus on Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi HaRiyah. The whole thing was an invention in later generations, Midi Rabbanan. They write a Loshen, I think the Rabbeinu Hanan al-Achumish quotes this, they have a Pirush Rabbeinu Hanan al-Torah. So he writes in his Pirush that the Aboim Shona Banidbor, they were the Anani HaKovoid, which were covering Bnei Yisrael all over, and they were covering on top, so they never saw the moon. That's what it says in Chumash. They were Anani HaKovoid on top, they never saw the moon. So he says the first 40 years of the Jewish people, right after Maamon HaSinai, there was always Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi HaChesed. There never was HaPi HaRiyah. And he says the whole thing was an invention later. It wasn't given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you say like that, so you say you can't distinguish later, Rambam says, that the mitzvah b'shleim musa is Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi HaRiyah that you're not supposed to tamper with. Kiddush HaPi HaChesed said that, according to them, is not so. So they say like Tosfos that this machlokes was an ongoing machlokes, whether you have HaPi HaRiyah or you have HaPi HaChesed. Doesn't make a difference. Okay. It is, even if you say you're supposed to, even if you say, Tosfos says that the Mishnah that speaks about Yom Kippur falling on a Friday or Sunday, it's only according to Acherim, and we don't hold like Acherim. we hold kishem shemabim mishashana letzarach, kach ma'abim mishachodesh letzarach, that it is permissible. So you're never really supposed to have. And let's say, according to the Shita Sataisis for Hagoinim, never, never, ever, even bisman shekitcha piyariya, you were never supposed to have Yom Kippur falling. You should always see to it that Yom Kippur doesn't fall on a Friday or Sunday. Means the Bezin should keep their eyes open and they shouldn't allow Yom Kippur to fall. What happens if it did fall? It does fall. Atem. If they set up this month, this year, they decide they're going to let Yom Kippur fall on a Friday, Sunday, so be it. That's where it's going to be. So the Rambam in the end of Hilchas Ervin, the last page in Hilchas Ervin, the Rambam writes, Yeroi Li, he writes an original Chiddush, that if Yom Kippur happens to fall out, he says he's supposed to see to it that it shouldn't happen when you do Kiddush Al Pi HaChesed. But he says, what happens if it'll turn out Yom Kippur will fall out on a Friday or Sunday? So he writes an original Chiddush Yeroi Li that everybody would agree that it's Kedusha Achas. So when is that? Is that Mishnah and Erevin Daf Mem that we spoke about a few times? The Mishnah has the Machlokes HaTanoim. If Yom Kippur, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, well, Yom Tov is only one day. So let's say Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos or Matzoy Shabbos. So you have 2 days, Yomim Mekudoshim, Smuchim Zelazeh. So the Tanoim had a Machlokes, is it Kedusha Achas? Is it one long Kedusha Yom for 48 hours? Or is it Shtei Kedushas? This Kedusha extends for 24 hours, that Kedusha extends for 24 hours. Now, Kaminas, is it one Ben HaShemoshes that asks for both? Or is it two separate Ben HaShemoshes? And what's an Afkamina? Can you have a separate Erev Eid Kumin for the first day and for the second day? Or is it like making two Erev Eid Kumin for the same day? It's Kedusha Achas, you can't make separate. Or if you made an Erev of the first day, and the Erev was Nechal on the first day, do you say it's still good, it's still Matar on the second day, or not? Erev Echatzer is Erev Eid Kumin. So that's a Machloik Yisatanoim. Whether Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushas, and we pass in Shtei Kedushas. So the Rambam writes, this whole Machloik Yisatanoim only applies if it's Yom Tov next to Shabbos. Yom Tov is either Friday or Sunday. What if it's Yom Kippur is Friday or Sunday? So the Rambam writes in the last page in Hilchos Erevin, Yeroi Li, that everyone will agree that it's Kedusha Achas. Because Yom Tov has basic differences from Shabbos. You have a Heter Echol Nefesh. On Yom Tov and Shabbos you don't, but on Yom Kippur there is no Heter Echol Nefesh. Not only because everybody's fasting. Let's say you can imagine all of Klal Yisrael Achulim is Kenim Ektanim. And everybody's eating that year. No one's healthy. Everybody's eating that year. He's still not allowed to cook on Yom Kippur. There's no Heter Echol Nefesh on Yom Kippur. It's not. The reason why there's no Heter Echol Nefesh is not because it's a tonis. Even for the people who have to eat, even if everybody would be eating, you're still not allowed to cook, not allowed to do malach on Yom Kippur. So Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Rambam understands, why do we pass in Shtei Kedushas? Because how can you say Kedusha Achas if Shabbos has no Heter Echol Nefesh, Yom Tov does? So they don't blend in, they can't be one. But Shabbos and Yom Kippur are the same. There are major differences. Yom Kippur is a mitzvah to fast, Shabbos is a mitzvah to eat. There are a lot of differences. And Malach on Shabbos is Nisan, Malach on Yom Kippur is only Malkus, it's not Skila. But basically, since the Isa Malach is identical, so the Rambam is Mechadish, Yeroili, he thinks that all the Tanoim would agree that that would be Kedusha Achas. Then the Magen Mishnah quotes that the other Rishonim thought about it, and they think the Rambam is probably right. Quotes, I think the Rambam, the Rashba, they think the Rambam is right in this Kiddush. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. Is this the case that Shabbos and Yom Kippur have the same level of Kedusha? Or should we somehow assume that one is a higher level of Kedusha than the other? Let's say the Gemara quotes on Omid Beis. On the Kuf Yudal Omid Beis, right smack in the middle of the Omid, they quote Chulin Daf Chov Vav Omid Beis. On the left margin in the Masoras HaShas, you can see where it says, right below Pesachim Mem Zayin, in brackets it says Chulin Chov Vav Omid Beis. So that's the Mishnah that's quoted right smack in the middle of the Omid. Yom Tov Shechalias Erev Shabbos. If Yom Tov falls out on Friday, or Yom Tov falls out on Matzoy Shabbos, so what are the dinim? So usually you say Kiddush at the beginning of the day, and Havdalah at the end of a Yom HaKodesh. So the Mishnah says in Chulin, Daf Kavav, you only say Havdalah if you're going from Kodesh to Chol, you're going down, or Kodesh Chomer to Kodesh Kal. Let's say Yom Tov to Chol HaMoed. You say Amavdim Kodesh to Chol. Or you go Shabbos to Yom Tov. Say Amavdim Kodesh to Kodesh. Because you're going down a level. What happens if you're going up a level? Let's say Yom Tov just falls out on Erev Shabbos, and then as Yom Tov terminates, Shabbos enters. So then you say Kiddush. You always say Kiddush at the beginning of the day, whether you're going up or down. That doesn't make a difference. You always say Kiddush. And even if you hold Kedusha Achas, you still say Kiddush twice. You say Kiddush on Leil Yom Tov, you say Kiddush on Leil Shabbos. that's not affected by the issue of Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushas. But Havdol is only recited in one direction. If you're going down, either the Hamavda Mekodesh Lachol or Hamavda Mekodesh Chomo or the Kodesh Kal. You're going down a Madrega. But if you're going up, if Yontif falls out on Erev Shabbos, and when Yontif terminates, then you go up a Madrega, going into Shabbos, so the Mishnah says, Eim Avdil. You don't say Havdalah at such a time. Then that's a Matzoi Yom Kudosh. You normally say Havdalah only on the condition that you're going down a Madrega. If you're going equal or going up, then you don't say Havdalah. Then there's a din, it's at the beginning of every Yom Kudosh, Shabbos, Yontif, Yom Kippur also, you're supposed to say Kiddush. We don't say Kiddush al Ayayin on Yom Kippur, so we say Kiddush b'tfila. Okay, the tfila, the davening, always has a text of Kiddush. Hatavachatana is the nusach of the Kiddush that the Gemara says that originally the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed the Kiddush b'tfila. Then the Gemara says in Brachas Lamed Gimel, when Bnei Yisrael had Shira, when they got wealthier, then they decided to move it. Instead of saying Kiddush b'tfila, they took it out of the tfila and they made a takana to say Kiddush al Ayayin. Then because the people were rich and they can afford it. Then the Gemara says, Hanu, they became poor, so that many people can't afford the wine anymore. So they took off the Kiddush al Ayayin and they moved it back to the tefillah. Then later on, some of the people were wealthy, some of the people were not, so they left it. You should say Kiddush the tefillah and Kiddush al Ayayin, and same thing, Havdalah the tefillah and Havdalah al Ayayin. And if you can't afford the Ayayin, so then you can say Kiddush al Apas. We spoke last week about that. He spoke last week that some Rishonim hold that Kiddush al Ayayin is deraisa. So how does the Gemara say when they became poor they abolished the Kiddush al Ayayin? So what it means is they abolished, they call Yochid v'Yochid, says the Kiddush al Ayayin. But in Shul they would say Kiddush al Ayayin. In order to be mostly everybody that's in deraisa, that these Rishonim hold that Kiddush al Ayayin is deraisa. Okay. So the Kiddush has to be recited whether you're going up or going down. In the beginning of a Yom HaKiddush, you have to say Kiddush. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur. Fine, you got to say Kiddush. But there is a din of Masif in Echol Al HaKodesh. You have to be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos. That is a discussion in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes, Omer Aleph, Omer Beis, the whole Daf Gemara. It's a question whether the Raisa, only on the Rambam's opinion is that it's only Tosefes, is only the Raisa on Yom HaKippurim. And the other Yom Tovim and Shabbosim is only with the Rabbanim. And other Rishonim don't agree with the Rambam. Other Rishonim say, based on the way they read the Gemara, that the Maskana should be that Tosefes Shabbos Lufanel Achreir is a din daraisa. Not only on Yom Kippur, it applies to every Yizman Mekudesh. It applies to Shabbos, and applies to Yom Tov, and applies to Shemitah. Shnas HaShemitah also is a Yizman that's Mekudesh. It's not a day like Shabbos. It's not a week like Pesach. It's a whole year. Okay. So that's Man Mekudesh. There's also an Indian of Tosefes Lefanel Achreir. The Tanaim talk about Tosefes. It's fine. So this idea of Masif Mechol Al HaKodesh is referred to by the Gemara with the term token, because the Gemara says on Erev Shabbos, like in Yerushalayim today, they have a siren goes off whatever 40 minutes before Shkia, whatever it is, and that's the time that you're supposed to be Mekabel Tosefes. You're supposed to bench lift then. When Bechlitz is supposed to be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos. So Bizman HaTalmud, the practice was, not only based on Migdash, all over. There used to be Tokeya, they used to blow Shofar on Erev Shabbos. So the blowing of the Shofar was like our siren today. The Tkiya was Lahavtil Esa'om Mimalachtom. That all the people should stop doing Malacha. Lahavtil, Botil, the people should stop doing Malacha. Then that would leave three Tkiyas, the blow Tkiya, true Tkiya. Then they would wait another couple of minutes, and it would be mamish to be right before the beginning of Bein Hashmash, and then would blow again another three koilas, tkiya tshuva tkiya, lahavda min kodesh l'chol, that everybody should know. That's what the Gemara quotes for Hatanan. They quote a Mishnah in Sukkah, Daf Nun Gimel, that's around 10 lines from the top. Sholosh, they blew three tkiyas, not really three tkiyas, it's tkiya tshuva tkiya, lahavti l'asom and malocha, everybody should stop doing malocha. That's Tosefes, that's Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos like they have Sibur. There are two kinds of Tosefes Shabbos. There's Tosefes Shabbos and Yochid. A guy wants to be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos an hour and a half before Shabbos. Okay, Gesundheit. If he wants to be Mekabel Shabbos after Shachris in the morning at 9 o'clock, so that's too early. The Ramos says there's an upper limit. You can't be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos before Plag HaMincha. Let's say he's a tzaddik. He wants to be Moisei Mechol HaKadosh. He's right after Plag HaMincha. So Gesundheit. That's Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos Al Yidei HaYochid. Then you have Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos Al Yidei HaTzibur. So the Tosefes Shabbos Al Yidei HaTzibur used to be when they would blow the shofar, Sholosh, the three koilus. Namely, the tkiya tshuvitki would be lahavtil esa'om mimalocha, that everyone should stop doing malocha. And the next three koilus, shalosh, the next three would be tkiya tshuvitki, and that would be lahavdil, the kodesh will hold, that everybody should know that it's already ben hashmashis now, and whoever's going to do malocha mikan v'yela is going to be chayv and oshem tovim. So this the first three tkiyas was the kabbalos tosef shabbos al yedei hatzibur. What are some of the differences in halacha between tosef shabbos of the yochid and tosef shabbos of the tzibur? So take for example Rabbi Ovadia Yosef has an opinion in disagreement with all of the Ashkenazim. That what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that once you're mekabel tosef shabbos, you're not allowed to daven. Let's say a person is mekabel tosef shabbos and he didn't daven mincha yet. He forgot to daven mincha on Erev Shabbos. Such a tzaddik, he wants to hasten kabbalah tosef shabbos. Kabbalah tosef shabbos, he has to plug mincha and didn't daven mincha yet. So we assume in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, Rabbi Kivega, and the Pima Gaon, they all assume once you're mekabel tosef shabbos, you're not allowed to daven tefillos kol. Because that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So Chacham Avadya is a chacham, he outsmarts everybody. So he says, it doesn't say that. The Maran b'Shulchan Aruch didn't say that. And he disagrees. He said, that's only if the tzibu is mekabel tosef shabbos. If I come into shul, let's say in the summertime, and there's only one minyan in the community, and they all daven early, they have an early minyan in the summertime, they already said baruch hu, they already said boy v'shalom, they already want mekabel shabbos. And I come late, people kind of like to come late to shul, and I didn't daven mincha yet. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you can't daven mincha if the tzibur already was mekabel tosef shabbos, so the kabbalah tosef shabbos of the tzibur is chal on all the yechidim, and therefore one who didn't daven mincha yet is too late. He's not allowed to daven mincha. What does he do? What does he do? So should he daven ma'ariv twice? Should he say the ma'ariv dikish manesir a second time for tashlum and for mincha, or should he say the ma'ariv dikish manesir now l'shem mincha? So that's Rabbi Kivega quotes the Pima Gaon is not sure. What do you do in such a case? So that's Rabbi Avadi Yosef thinks that din, that once the tzibur is mekabel tosefes Shabbos, no one is allowed to daven tefilas chol, that's only if it was tosefes Shabbos of the tzibur. But kabbalah tosefes Shabbos of the yochid, you don't have that din. Where did he get such an einfall from? That's against all of the Ashkenazi posts. So that's his thought. He takes on Rabbi Kivega with everybody. Okay. Good? Okay. But where did he get such an einfall? Who in the world came up with such an idea? There's a difference. Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos of the Tzibur is more chomer than Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos of the Yachin. So that even the Ashkenazim say as well. The Mishnah Berurah quotes all of the Achronim say like that, but they get to a different din. There is a Mishnah in Bamei Madlikin, but that's our Masechta. It's in Bamei Madlikin, Safik Hashecha, Savakein Hashecha. So it gives you Safik Hashecha, Savakein Hashecha means Ben Hashmashu. So it gives you Kulis and Chumris. What are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? Where's the Mishnah? Anybody know by my Madlika? Lamedala Ramadala. Okay. The middle of the Mishnah. Sofik Hashecha. Sofik Eina Hashecha. Amy Ashrenes Havadai. The prohibition about being Mafish Shumas Maisis is only the Rabbanon. So you're not allowed to even violate. That's a Mishnah in Beitza, that it's only a Shavuos to be Mafish. It's not a Melacha Deraisa. You need not be Nashmash, it's only a Sofik. You don't say Sofik the Rabbanon Lekulam. It's a Sofik Deraisa. The Nashmash that Sofik is a Shabbos is a Dan Shabbos. Since a Sofik Deraisa, you're not allowed to violate the Rabbanon. Vein Matpilim is Akelim. If a kli is tummy and you matzpil it on Shabbos, the whole prohibition is only with Rabbanus and Nisa Derech. Hey, Madlik Masaneris, okay, that's a Sufik Derech to the Chumar, that everybody understands. But the first two are big Chiddush. So what does it sound like it says in the Mishnah? It sounds like it's saying that Bein Hashmash is a Sufik Shabbos, that's a Sufik Derech, so you have to go to the Chumar, even vis-a-vis the Din of the Rabbanon, of Hey, Madbila Masakelim, and Hey, Miasim is Havadai. No, but then it has, but there are certain things that are more kal. That you are permitted to do Bein Hashmash. Avo Ma'ashmas HaDamai, because Demai itself is only Midirabban. Demai Minator, the Amor itself is Tiyuni, swears on a Bible that it's Gemaiset already. Uma Arvin, to put an Erev, so we allow you to put an Erev, Erev Eitzchum, and Erev Echatzeres, Bein Hashmash, the Tom Nenesacham, to do Hatmana. The two kinds of Hatmana, there's one Hatmana that's even awesome in Bod Yom. You're not allowed to do Hatmana even on Friday. So Ben Hashmash is, of course, you're not allowed to do it. But there's another Hatmana that's only also on Shabbos. Atman of Dover ha maminis hahevel. It's not moisif hevel. It maintains the heat. So that Atman is only asaran Shabbos, and our Shabbos is mutas. So it's bein hashmashes. We permit you to do that hatmana because we're not sure that Shabbos entered. So to do hatmana, or to make an erev, or to be mafresh maisus and demai, this is a lower level of a din de rabbanon, and these we allow bein hashmashes. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, what happens if the tzibur was mekabel tosefes Shabbos? So if the tzibur was mekabel tosefes Shabbos, then these kulas don't apply. Ma'asanas ha'demai, mi'avim, tamnas ha'cham, don't apply. So the Mishnah Berurah says, he quotes a whole list of achrayim who distinguish between kabbalas ha'yochid and kabbalas ha'tzibur. If the yochid is mekabel tosefes Shabbos, it's not mochamad ben hashmashes. Ben hashmashes ha'sofik deraisa. Ben hashmashes ha'sofik deraisa. And you still say you're permitted to be ma'asanas ha'demai, and mi'avim, tamnas ha'cham. So why does it make it worse if tefel is mekabel tosefes Shabbos? Sofik chashecha, sabagene chashecha is a sofik kares. So Sefer Shabbos is only a din of an essay. Let's say a guy's been kabbalah to Sefer Shabbos an hour before Shkia, and he violates the Tosefes that he accepted and he does malachas. According to the Rambam, the whole din of Tosefes is only on Yom Kippur. There is no din Tosefes bechlal. The Rambam denies this whole story. The Rambam holds that there's never any din of Tosefes. He holds that there's no mitzvah to be moisev of mechel al hakodesh. And most of the poskim assume that even if you were moisiv, it's not even chal, not chal min atar, not chal min derabah. That seems to be the Rambam's opinion. There are three shittas in Achrayim. According to the Rambam, it says there's no mitzvah to be moisiv mechol al kodesh. What if you were moisiv? And Erev Shabbos in some hole, there's no mitzvah to be moisiv at all. But if you were moisiv, it's chal min atar. And others say, no, he never said that. It must be that it's only chal min derabah. And others say, no, but he never said that either. The Rambam never said it's even chal min derabah. So they say, if you're moisiv mechol al kodesh, it's just not chal. So the Rambam denies the whole story. Sholosh l'haftel asam and malacha, you blow tkiya shayfer for 40 minutes before the shkia, and everybody has to drop their work, and they have to be mekabel tosefes Shabbos. The Rambam holds there's no tosefes Shabbos. Even if you mekabel it, it's not chal. It's not chal min atar, not chal min derabanan. We discussed the Rambam. So according to Rambam, how do you say kiddush? If you mekabel tosefes Shabbos and it's not chal, so how do you say kiddush? You're reciting kiddush on Erev Shabbos, and the Rambam says that's exactly correct. Just like he can recite Havdalah either, normally recite Havdalah after Shabbos was over, but if you're in a rush, the Gemara says, B'shas HaTzach, you can say Havdalah Mibol Yom. You can say Havdalah late Shabbos afternoon. Of course, you're not permitted yet to do Malacha, but you're in the midst of Havdalah, even if you recite Havdalah before Shabbos is over. So to Kiddush, he says, Kiddush normally is recited at Tchilas Knisas HaShabbos after Shabbos enters. But you can recite Kiddush before Shabbos enters. And Havdalah should be recited sometime before or after. So the simple reading of the Rambam is that the Rambam seems to hold that even if you're moisif mechol al kodesh, just not chal. And the reason why you go to kiddush during this man of Tosefes is not that Tosefes is good enough for the purpose of saying kiddush. No. You can say Kiddush before Shabbos enters, like you can say Havdalah before Shabbos came to an end. So you can say Kiddush before Shabbos enters. So the according to the Rambam, Bechlal is not din of Tosefes outside of Yom Kippur. And even according to the other Rishonim, who hold that there is a din of Tosefes on all the Shabbos Yom Tem. So the Gemara says in Sukkah, at the end of the second Perek, that if a person was Mekabel Tosefes, Yom Kippur, let's say, and the Rambam is masking there, and then he does malacha, he violates it. So how serious is that violation? Is there kares? Like one does malacha on Yom Kippur proper is chayv kares. So what's the din if one does malacha during this man of Tosefes? The Gemara says, no, there's no kares, there's no lav, it's only an iser aseh. It's only an iser aseh. So if a person does malacha bein hashmashes, that's a safi kares. If a person does malacha after he's makabel Tosefes Shabbos, if you all Tosefes Shabbos is chal, like the Tosefes opinion, it's only an iser aseh. So Mechore Bein Hashmashes should be more chomer than Tosefes. So if the Mishnah tells us that there's a heter during this mana Bein Hashmashes, three heter, Ma'asanus Hadmai, or Me'arvin, the Tomnenes Hachamim. If these three prohibitions are so light that you allow them even Bein Hashmashes, so it should certainly be a Shekal V'chomer. It should be allowed even if you're Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos Lefanecha, or if Bein Hashmashes, it is Bein Hashmashes. What does it make it worse than I'm Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos? Bein Hashmashes is a Tosefes Shabbos Bal Kocha Shalom, whether you like it or not. The Torah says, Sofik Deraisa L'chumah, you have to abstain from Malacha. So what is it, why should it make it worse? Because I'm a Kabbal Tosefes Shabbos, who asks my opinion? Bein Hashmashes, he mechuyev to observe. So the Pashtus says that it shouldn't make a difference. But then in Shulchan Aruch they write, no. If you Mekabel Tosef Shabbos, then these Haterim don't apply. So it doesn't make any sense. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham and El Yehoshua Rabbe and all the Achronim, they say no. It means if the Tzibu is Mekabel Tosef Shabbos, some of that makes it Mochomer. If the Tzibu is Mekabel Tosef Shabbos, that's Mochomer than Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos of the Yochid, then you don't have these Haterim. He says you still have a Heter Amir Lanachri. Somehow he thinks that the Achronim think Amir Lanachri is even more Kal than these three. And Amir Lakum is more kal than that. So Amir Lakum, the Mishnah Berurah wants to say, is more kal than these three, and it's even mutter if the Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos Haidei Hatzibah. Some disagree, the Mishkenes Yankiv disagrees, he holds that the whole thing is kakai. He holds that Amir Lakum is not even allowed during Bein Hashmashos. Mishnah Berurah holds that Amir Lakum is so kal, it's mutter Bein Hashmashos. And it's even mutter after you are mekabel tosef shabbos. If the tzibu is mekabel tosef shabbos, and the Mishkenes Yankiv thinks no, Amir Liakim is a mochamad diki. He said the rabbanim mochamad emas and asadmai. We would never permit Amir Liakim during this man of Ben Hashmashos, unless you have a big shasat chak or something. The Gemara has a machlokes satanaim in the first parak in Shabbos and in Erev a few times. Rebbe is of the opinion, kol dovah shehum yishum shvus lo gozru al ben hashmoshes. If it's ben hashmoshes and something is only a gzera de rabbanon, then we're makel if it's a mokum hefsed meruba, a mokum tzaragodla, a mokum mitzvah. So that we would be makel, but Amir Liakim we would be makel. But the Shulchan Aruch is even more makel than that. Shulchan Aruch is makel even after Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos Haidei Hatzibur. So getting back now to Ardaf on Kuf Yudala and Beis. So the Mishnah in Chulin Chavav and Beis speaks about Magdilin, when they say Havdalah when the day is over, and Token. Token is a term that represents Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos Haidei Hatzibur. When does it make sense to have Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos Haidei Hatzibur, or Haidei Yochid for that matter? When is the Shabbos have Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos? So let's say Erev Shabbos is a weekday. So if you might mechayel al hakodesh, how do you stel zachayis? How do you demonstrate that you might mechayel al hakodesh? You abstain from doing malacha. But if Erev Shabbos is a weekday, might mechayel al hakodesh by abstaining from doing malacha l'shem Shabbos. What if Erev Shabbos is yontif? So you're not doing malacha anyway. So the answer is no. But on yontif you're allowed to cook. Chanevish is mutter. You're allowed to carry things with tzarich chanevish. So if the fellow is mekabel tosef Shabbos on Yontif, so this shayach mosif mechoil al hakodesh for the yochid for the tzibur, he's mekabel tosef Shabbos. He abstains from doing maleches echal nefesh after his kabbalah tosef Shabbos. What if it's Yom Kippur next to Shabbos? Yom Kippur and Erev Shabbos. So there is no hefter echal nefesh. So there's nothing to be mosif mechoil al hakodesh about. How's it gonna take place? What does it mean? Kabbalah tosef Shabbos means I'm going to stop doing malacha. Let's say Ben Kovako, the guy's an invalid, he can't write, and he's in a wheelchair, he can't turn on the lights, and he can't cook anyway. It's hard for him. He can't do any malachas anyway. Yeah, but now he's abstaining from malacha because of the Shabbos. The Shabbos, Kabbalah, the seven Shabbos, even for one who is an invalid. That's what the Rambam talks about. What is one who is an invalid? How do you demonstrate that it's a Shvisa HaNikeres? How is it nikah that he's abstaining from malacha because today Shabbos Ben Kovakai, he doesn't lift a finger all year long. He doesn't cook his food. He doesn't wash his dirty clothing. He doesn't write anything. He doesn't turn on the lights. He doesn't turn off the lights. He's in an all-day shom. And the people, the attendants, take care of everything. So the Rambam suggests that maybe that's one of the reasons what prompted the Tanoim to institute the dinam of muktzah. Because of those people, so you want to have, he should abstain from something extra. But let's say you're leaving out the muktzah store. Still, even a fellow is an invalid, but now he's abstaining from malacha because it's Shabbos. That's Tosef Shabbos. But if Erev Shabbos is Yom Kippur, and the prohibition, the Issa malacha is exactly the same, Yom Kippur Shabbos, no Heter Racham Nefesh, so what Shach to have Masif Mechoy Lava Kodesh? So that's what the Mishnah says in Chulin, Daf Chovav. If Yontif falls out on Friday, you don't say Havdalah on Metzoy Yontif, because you're going up. You're not going down. You only say Havdalah when you're going down. I'm Avdi Mekodesh L'chol, I'm Avdi Mekodesh L'kodesh. But if you're going up from Yontif to Shabbos, you don't say Havdalah. And what if the reverse? What if Yontif falls out on a Sunday? by us, it happens all the time. Yom Tov falls on a Friday, Yom Tov falls on a Sunday. Yom Tov falls on Sunday, so should you blow Tkiyah Shofar on Shabbos afternoon to announce that we're here by being Mekabel Tosefes Yom Tov? No, what kind of Tosefes Yom Tov? He's abstaining from Aloha on Shabbos to a greater extent than abstaining from Aloha on Yom Tov. Shabbos has more. Mochum is a Yom Tov. So if Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, Matzoi Shabbos, so it says, Lo Tokin. You don't blow Shofar on Erev Yom Tov. You blow Shofar on Erev Shabbos to be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos, but you can't blow Shofar on Shabbos afternoon to be Mekabel Tosefes Yom Tov. What's Mekabel Tosefes Yom Tov? It's meaningless. Mekabel Tosefes means to abstain from Malacha. Everything is also anyway a whole day long. The last 24 hours it's us. So now the Gemara quotes Abraisa on the top line. This Reb Zeire was a character who lived in Bavel, then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. They kicked him out of the yeshivas. So he had no choice. There's some people today also. They kick him out of all the yeshivas, so then they have to go learn in Eretz Yisrael. So he was thrown out of the yeshivas, and then he went to Eretz Yisrael. So he says when he kihavina b'bavel, he says on the top line, when I used to live in Bavel, Hava Amri, I always used to think, Chod the Tanya, the Braisa that tells us Yom Kippur Shechol Yisrael Shabbos, Lo Ha Yotokim, that Shabbos and Yom Kippur are on the same level. Neither is higher than the other. So if Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos, it doesn't make sense to be Moisef and Chol Al HaKodesh on Erev Yom Kippur. It does make sense. Blow Shofar to be Mekabel Tosefes Yom Kippur. But the blow Shofar on Yom Kippur late in the afternoon to be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos doesn't make sense. It's the same level of Kedusha. Shabbos is not higher than Yom Kippur. Uber Matzoi Shabbos, and if Yom Kippur falls out on Sunday, so the question is, do you say Havdalah in between Matzoi Yom Kippur? Of course you say Havdalah. I'm Avdim Mekodesh Lachot, but do you say Havdalah in between Shabbos and Yom Kippur? He says no. Lohim Avdilim. Why? Because it's all on the same level. Shabbos and Yom Kippur is all on the same level. They both have an Issa Malach without a Heter Echol Nefesh. So you only say Havdalah when you're going down. So these 2 days next to each other, back to back, you never say Havdalah in between the first day and the second day. And you only Mekabel Tosefes for the second day, if the second day has more Issa Malacha than the first day. But Shabbos Yom Kippur are the same thing. So it's not shy to make any Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos. So he used to think, Ki Havina B'Bavel, when I lived in Bavel before I moved to Eretz Yisrael, Hava Amri, I used to say, Hod Tanya, the Braisa that tells us that they're both on the same level, that's Dibre HaKolhi. I thought that it's Bein L'Reb Akiva, Bein L'Reb Yishmael, they both agree. Then you argue a different story about Mach Design, the Emurim. If Yom Kippur fell out on a Friday, if Yom Kippur fell on a Friday, you can't be Makhtad Emurim. What if Yom Kippur falls out on a Sunday, and you brought the Talmud Shel Bein Abayim, and you weren't Makhtad Emurim yet, so are you permitted to be Makhtad Emurim on Leil on Kippur? That's a detail Machlokes. It's a little detail, but it doesn't really reflect anything major. It's not a major Machlokes Hatanai. But then that's what he used to think. But then he says, when he came to Shalikna Lahasam, when I moved there to Israel, all of a sudden he became enlightened. He said, it's only Rabbi Akiva here. Rabbi Akiva holds that Shabbos and Yom Kippur are on the same level. So that's Rabbi Akiva says, that there's no Havdalah in between the first day and the second day, Shabbos and Yom Kippur, and there's no Kabbalah Tosefes on the first day for the second day, because they're exactly on the same level of Kedusha. So that's not Shach to be Moshe Mechor on HaKadosh. So that's what he said. That's only Aliba the Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Shmuel, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not true. Shabbos is on a higher level of Kedusha than Yom Kippur. Kevin the Yomar, Chalvi Shabbos craving Yom Kippur. Kevin the Yomar, since Rabbi Shmuel thinks, Chalvi Shabbos craving Yom Kippur, what does it show? And Chalvi Yom Kippur not craving Shabbos. So it shows that Shabbos has a higher level of Kedusha than Yom Kippur. Bottom line, if you have that Pasuk, it's not just a detail. When he lived in Bavel, he thought, well, it's a little detail there. Now, when he came to Eretz, so they pointed out, that's not a detail. That little detail reflects the nature of the Kedusha Zayyam. Just like Shabbos clearly has a higher level of Kedusha than Yom Tov, so Shabbos has a higher level of Kedusha than Yom Kippur also. V'harai, the Chel Yom Kippur are not craving the Shabbos, Chel Shabbos are craving Yom Kippur. So if Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos, even though the Dinim are exactly identical, there's a Nisim Malacha without a Heter Echol Nefesh on both Yom Kippur and Shabbos. Still, Liska, we should blow Shofar when Yom Kippur falls out on Friday. We should blow Shofar 40 minutes before the Shkiyah on Friday afternoon to be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos, because there is what to be Moisei Mechayel Al HaKadosh, because Shabbos is a higher level of Kedusha. Yeah, but bottom line is the same thing. The Shvisa and Oblacha is the same thing. So what do you mean Liska? What are you accomplishing by the blowing of the shofar? The whole observance of Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos. How do you do Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos? Your Shvisa and Oblacha, the same Tosefes Shabbos. So what does it mean Liska? What Malacha is he going to abstain from? So he says Liska. In which case, again, if Yom Kippur falls out on Friday, so the Chel v'Yom Kippur are craving the Yom Kippur. But as soon as you mekabel Tosef is Shabbos, the Chel v'Yom Kippur are not craving the Shabbos. So it didn't change this minute. 40 minutes before the Shkia on Friday of Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur Chel is Be'er Shabbos, 40 minutes before the Shkia we're going to blow Shofar, and that Shofar blowing is going to be Kabbalah Tosef is Shabbos Adei HaTzibur. What's the significance that the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash have to stop Haktoras Emurim of Chel v'Yom Kippur? If they wouldn't have been Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos, they would have been able to burn the Chel v'Yom Kippur all day long. Now that they're Mekabel, let's say 40 minutes earlier, the way the minig is now, so then Ke'eched Levi Yadi, the Chel v'Shabbos Kerev v'Yom Kippur. And Chel v'Yom Kippur are not craving the Shabbos. I don't know, they have to abstain from being makriv the Karbonos. So in other words, the Brisa that says that if Yom Kippur falls out on Friday, it says lo hayu tokim, they wouldn't blow shofar. So when he came to Eretz Yisrael, they enlightened him and they told him that it's only Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds Chel v'Shabbos is not craving Yom Kippur, Chel v'Yom Kippur not craving Shabbos. They both have the same level of kedusha, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, they don't have the same level of kedusha, and Shabbos has a certain chumra over Yom Kippur. Namely, the Chel v'Yom Kippur are not craving the Shabbos, Chel v'Shabbos are craving Yom Kippur, so you should blow shofar late in the afternoon on Yom Kippur, aver of Shabbos, to be mekabel Tosefes Shabbos. That's what he heard in Eretz Yisrael. Fine, this can kasha. I mean, we pass like Rabbi Akiva. Whenever there's a machlekes Rabbi Akiva v'Shmuel, we pass like Rabbi Akiva. How does it say here? Where's the Rambam on this? Based on the Gemara's Cheshvan, we should hear the Rambam is Ches. I mean, the Perek Aleph and Tzminim Himself Ma'aloch HaZayin. Is that what it says? Perek Aleph, Ma'aloch HaZayin, and Tzminim Himself. Based on the Kloli Apsak, whenever there's machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Mishma, we usually pass like Rabbi Akiva. Evarim shel tami doichem es hatuma, vein doichem es haShabbos. Means evari chol. You know that the emurim or the evarim of karbanos that were brought on Friday, you're not allowed to burn them after the mekabel tosefes Shabbos. El be'er of Shabbos mulvan maktir me evari tami shel be'er of Shabbos. Shel tami tchilos adoichem Shabbos v'sofa ena doichem. Tchilos means a tami of Shabbos is karban Shabbos. Al v'sofa. Yesterday's tumid, a Friday's tumid, you're not allowed to be makdi in Murim on late Friday night. You're not allowed. Chel v'Shabbos kreivim b'leile yontif. Ah, if yontif falls out on Sunday, m'chal yontif li'ez matzoi Shabbos, so that everybody agrees. The Chel v'Shabbos are kreivim b'yontif. Aval ein kreivim b'leile yom ha-kippurim. Chel v'Shabbos are not kreivim b'yom ha-kippurim. That was the machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva. Loi chel v'Shabbos kreivim b'Yom Kippur, v'loi chel v'Yom Kippur kreivim b'Shabbos. Chel v'Yom Kippur not kreivim b'Shabbos means if Yom Kippur fell out on a Friday, you're not makta the Emurim on Leil Shabbos that they both agree. But on the chel v'Shabbos where they kreivim Yom Kippur, that was the machloikis, and the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva. Loi chel v'Shabbos kreivim Yom Kippur, v'loi chel v'Yom Kippur kreivim b'Shabbos. Both they're not allowed to do. Why? How did the Rambam know? Well, first of all, whenever this machlekes Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel, he passed like Rabbi Akiva. Secondly, the Gemara explains on the bottom of Kuf Yudal and Amin Aleph that it's totally hogaha. You have a pasuk that says Oila Shabbos b'Shabbos. It sounds like Oila Shabbos can be burnt on a different Shabbos. Sounds like you have two yamim mekudoshim, one next to the other. It doesn't mean that today is a Shabbos and next week is a Shabbos. So you can burn Oila today Shabbos on next Shabbos. It's already nifsal belina. If there's a day in between, it's nifsal belina. So Oila Shabbos b'Shabbos means 2 days, Shabbos next to each other. Obviously, it doesn't mean Shabbos Parshas Yisro and Shabbos Parshas Mishpatim. They're not going to come out next to each other. You have 6 days in between. It means Shabbos B'Shabbos means Shabbos next to Yom Tov, Shabbos next to Yom Kippur, two Yom in Mekudoshim. So what does it mean, Oyla Shabbos B'Shabbos? The Rabbi Yishmael holds that the Dorim and Adavas are craving beyond the Stam. Minatoris the missile to bring Dorim and Adavas on you. So I don't need a posit to tell me that I'm allowed to be Maktere Mure Shabbos beyond. So why do you need a posit to Oyla Shabbos B'Shabbos? Oyla Shabbos B'Shabbos Acheris. So Rabbi Yishmael holds that the Hechreach, the main Uinyan, it doesn't mean you can bring Oyla Shabbos on next Shabbos, it can't bring Oyla Shabbos on Yom Tov. Oyla Shabbos next Shabbos is Nifsal Belima, so you can't bring it. Oyla Shabbos on Yom Tov, Rabbi Shmuel holds, I don't need a pasuk, I know it on my own. And Dharma Dharma Sak craving the Yom Tov is Mutzim and Ater. So must go on Oyla Shabbos is Korev the Yom HaKippur. But then you have a miut, it doesn't say Oyla Shabbos B'Shabbos, it says Oyla Shabbos B'Shabbato. So the Vav is, tones it down a little bit. Oyla Shabbos B'Shabbato, Oyla B'Shabbos Acher. So that goes the reverse. That Oyla Yom Kippur is not Korev B'Shabbos. Oyla Shabbos B'Shabbos means B'Shabbos Acheres, that Chel Vei Shabbos are craving the Yom Kippur. And the Vav of B'Shabbatel says that Oylos Yom Kippur is not Korev B'Shabbos. So that's how Rabbi Shmuel figures out the drasha. We don't paskin like that. We paskin Dorim and Adavas are not craving the Yom Tov, it's an Nisim and a Torah. There's the Machlekes for the craving or not, and there's a further Machlekes in Beitza. If you assume ain't craving the Yom Tov, is that an Nisa Deraisa or an Nisa Derabana? So we paskin it's an Nisa Deraisa. So you don't know the, why do you jump Tafasta Merua, Tafasta Meruba Loi Tafasta? Tafasta Merua Tafasta. Why does Rabbi Shmuel have the right to jump all the way so many steps? He says, Oyla Shabbos B'Shabbos Acheres means that Oylas Shabbos is Kreva B'Yom Kippur. How do you know? I need a pasuk to say Oyla Shabbos Kreva B'Yom Kippur. Once you say that that's what it means, Oyla Shabbos Kreva B'Yom Kippur, that's all. That Oyla Shabbos is not Kreva B'Yom Kippur, and Oyla Yom Kippur is not Kreva B'Shabbos. The Gemara says that everything is totally Zebizeh. The Machlekes starts off with the topic whether the Dorim and the Adavas are craving the Yontav or not. That's the Machlekes on the level of their eyes. And we pass like Rebbe Kiva, and Dorim and the Adavas are not craving the Yontav, it's an Issa their eyes. So therefore the Pasuk, Oyla Shabbos B'Shabbos Acheres, must only be referring to that Oyla Shabbos craving the Yontav, but not craving the Yom Kippur. So according to Rebbe Kiva, that both Yomim and Kudoshim are on an equal level. Whereas according to Rebbe Shmuel, because he holds the Dorim and the Adavas are craving the Yontav, so of course Oyla Shabbos is Korev B'Yontav. Even if it would be the Dorim and the Adavas, it would be craving the Yontav. So Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Pasuk must be telling me that Oyla Shabbos craving the Yom Kippur. So it tells me Yom Kippur has a lower level of Kedusha. So according to him, it's Shach to be Moshev Mechoil Ala Kedusha. If Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos, so the Gemara says, Liska, we should blow Shofar 40 minutes before Shkia on Friday afternoon to be Mekabel Tosef Shabbos, because Shabbos has something more than Yom Kippur. That Rambam that we mentioned, the last page in Hilchos Erevin, that the Rambam says, Yeroyali, that if Yom Kippur falls out on a Friday or on a Sunday, it's going to be Kedusha Achas. That's because the Rambam is Lishitos, the Paschans like Rabbi Akiva over here. But if he would have Paschans like Rabbi Shmuel, then if you all like Rabbi Shmuel, it should not be Kedusha Achas. Because Yom Kippur is a lower level of Kedusha and Shabbos is a higher level. So just like Shabbos and Yom Tov don't blend in together because they're not the same level of Kedusha, so Yom Kippur and Shabbos should also not blend in together. The answer probably is the Rambam Lishitos at Paschal is like Rabbi Akiva here. That's the Rambam it's Midim U'Masafim, Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin that I just read. And it has to be. He has to Paschal like that. Because the Paschal and Dharma and Novus are not creating the Yom Tov. The Gemara showed how it's totally Zeh B'Zeh. So the Mela, the Rambam is free to say that Shabbos and Yom Kippur are equal and it's going to be a Kedusha Achas.
Gemara Megillah, like Chris Torah.
Yeah. So the Achrayim say that it's Lishitasam, that the two Gemaras are Lishitasam, so we don't paskin the Lishitasam. Here we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, and there we paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, that on Shabbos we give 7 aliyahs, and on Yom Kippur we give 6 aliyahs. So the Lishitasam falls on the Gemara, never made the Lishitasam. The Achrayim made the Lishitasam. So that's a problem in Psak Halacha. We don't paskin like Rabbi Shmuel is the one who says that Shabbos gets 7 aliyahs and Yom Kippur gets 6. So that's the kasha. Why do we follow Rabbi Shmuel over there if you don't paskin like Rabbi Shmuel over here? So that's a strong kasha on the Achrayim who made this Lishitos. They're right. The Lishitos sounds correct. But it's the same names and it's the same topic. And there's a stirim psak. So that's a good question. Okay. Okay. We've got to continue tomorrow.